Where it's been cold and a lot of people have faded away from Lake Wobegon. We think about them this time of year, how many have gone south and southwest and out to the west. We miss them, all the ghosts of all those snowbirds. We see the houses they used to live in, feel sad all over again. Oh, well. It's been cold. It's been very cold. So if you left us on account of the cold, well, there it is. It's been really, really cold. Men walking around town with mustaches and frozen snot right there on their faces, and they just don't even care. It's just been that cold. People with big hats with ear flaps, you know, and enormous gloves and boots and snowmobile suits. I mean, you could put these people right straight into the circus, and people would laugh, especially down south. They would laugh. It's been terribly cold. They lost water. The pipes froze at the Chatterbox Cafe on Sunday night, and Dorothy arrived at 5 o'clock on Monday morning. There was no water to make coffee, which would have been a crisis in our town. We desperately need coffee. There have been tests done on Norwegian rats that show that when they're deprived of caffeine, they chew each other's ears off, and we probably would be capable of the same thing ourselves. But Dorothy found this enormous icicle from the overhang over the parking lot in the back of the Chatterbox Cafe, and she busted off big chunks of it, and she melted it over the fire in a big pot, and she made egg coffee, according to her recipe that she's never divulged to anybody. So there was coffee, after all. It tasted a little bit of asphalt, which some people seem to prefer, so maybe this is something for the future. Clarence and Arlene Bunsen came down to the cafe at 6 o'clock, their coffee maker, which is about 25 years old. It was one of the original automatic coffee makers. It failed on them, as it does so often. Still, they never can bring themselves to replace it, but they put the water and the ground coffee in the filter and looked at it 2 minutes later, and there's this volcano of bubbling hot water and grounds, and so they came down to the Chatterbox, and they had the scrambled eggs and the bacon, which had a hair in it from that stray cat that Dorothy had let in on Sunday, the day that it was so cold, and now she doesn't know what to do with this cat. It's been terrifically cold, and people have liked to pull their cars out onto the lake towards the end of the day and watch the sun go down, couples sitting there in the front seats, way out on the ice, pointing towards the west, talking or not talking, I don't know. I haven't done it myself, but I've seen other people do it. They've been married a long time, so they know how to behave themselves, whether they want to or not. There were rumors, a multiplicity of rumors, that school was going to be canceled on Monday because the school buses would not start. And had school been canceled, perhaps children thereafter would have referred to "there was rumors." But school was not canceled, and all of these children who had their hopes up high that they would have a free vacation day, they had to go down to school and give that speech and do that book report and take that test and do those forward somersaults over the horse in the gymnasium, which people dread who are tall, and do their work of familiarizing themselves with this beautiful world that we live in. The fourth graders were studying rocks and minerals and also Lincoln and Washington. And the fifth graders were studying birds and learning that birds have hollow bones and birds have no sphincter. It just comes out of them whenever it comes out. A fascinating fact to a child. And in the sixth grade, they were studying how creatures deal with winter, especially the North American wood frog, which survives winter by freezing. Actually, its body freezes, as we would describe freezing. Its heart stops. There is no respiration. There's no kidney function. The frog is cold, and almost hard, but survives winter thanks to a sort of natural antifreeze that it creates in its own body with glucose, so that ice crystals do not actually form in the cells, which would, of course, destroy the frog. And then in the spring, the frog defrosts itself, beginning with the heart, and then the brain, and then the rest of the body. Children listened to this scientific explanation with disbelief at the adaptability of life to these circumstances that we find ourselves in. So many people have not adapted to them, and they've headed off to California or Arizona or Florida. They gave winter as the reason for leaving, that the winters were just too hard, but we knew them well enough to see that there were other reasons. They didn't get along. They didn't quite fit in. They were uneasy being around people who wash their baggies and reuse them. They were uncomfortable with people who wash tinfoil and use it until it becomes thin as parchment over and over. And they wanted to be finer people than they could be. They wanted to be somebody different than who they could be in a town where everybody knew them. And so they went off to other places and succeeded, many of them, admirably, I must say. There are many people from Lake Wobegon who just used to slouch around town and just look at their shoes, and they went off someplace else, and they became very charming, and they became socialites. A lot of people who were not that bright in Lake Wobegon went off elsewhere and became rich. They never could have gotten rich in Lake Wobegon. Nobody would have trusted them to give them any money whatsoever. But there is a price to be paid for this. There truly is. Nothing comes free in this life. That's a fundamental belief in Lake Wobegon. Lorraine Brustad, who fled winter suddenly a few years ago, she just couldn't bear it anymore, and an icicle fell off the eave of her house, and that was it. It almost hit her, and she jumped into her car with one suitcase, and she drove down to the Minneapolis-St. Paul airport, and she parked the car in the parking ramp, left the keys in it and the motor running, and just dashed for the terminal. Well, the motor running and the door half open drew the interest of security people, and they called a SWAT team, and they surrounded the car, and they brought a bomb disposal squad, and they thought it was booby-trapped, and so they blew the car up, actually. They exploded it. Meanwhile, she was in the terminal, and she bought a one-way ticket to L.A., which, of course, aroused suspicions immediately, and these three agents met her at security and just took her apart piece by piece. But she made it on the plane, and she got off there, but they were waiting for her at the other end. They had discovered shampoo in her suitcase, and they had discovered a perfume called Arabian Nights. That was it. They took her in. She's still in custody somewhere, we don't know where, as a suspected terrorist. Now, if Lorraine had stayed in Lake Wobegon, where we know that she's not a terrorist, confused, impulsive, yes, but not a terrorist, she would have been just fine. You see what I'm getting at here? There's a price to be paid for this lure of a warmer climate. People go and they go down to Florida and they lose focus. This happens in a warm climate. You just lose your natural wariness and suspicion that you have growing up in Lake Wobegon, and before you know it, there's a knock at the door, and some charming, olive-skinned stranger with brilliantined hair has talked you out of your billfold, and he's got your credit cards, and he's taken over your identity, and while you sit there drinking a daiquiri around a pool, he is draining your funds just absolutely dry, and you're going to have to call your people back in Minnesota and borrow money to come back, and you're going to have to live in the basement of relatives in Lake Wobegon who are going to try not to say we told you so, although they did, of course. Think of it, the tragedy of it. You go off thinking that you're going off to paradise, and a few weeks later you find yourself back home. You're having to pick food off the Lutheran church food shelf. And you find a lot of canned water chestnuts there, which is not a balanced diet, no matter how you look at it. People go off to the Bahamas. They have a fantasy based on pictures they've seen in National Geographic of the Bahamas and white sand beaches and golf courses and with beautiful, lush, green fairways. And they go off there and they discover this strange immune deficiency illness that strikes people who are acclimated to winter, who move suddenly into a warm climate. Your immune system is affected, and you catch this very rare disease, not that rare, but unknown to medical science, a disease called larvalitis. Larvalitis, because the characteristics represent the characteristics of an egg in the larval stage, which is so sensitive it has to stay at exactly the same temperature. People who were able to endure winter suddenly are unable to endure anything that's colder than 72 or anything warmer than 73. And so there you are, you're in the Bahamas, and you have to stay indoors in this regulated climate. You suffer from depression and aches and headaches if it gets any warmer or any colder than that. And pretty soon, you are in a semi-comatose state, and you are in a balloon, essentially. You're in a little glass case. And when you can no longer tell them what day of the week it is, and how would you know, isolated in a hospital, and you can no longer tell them who is the President of the United States, and some people would just rather not tell them who is the President of the United States. When you can no longer answer those questions, they put you into a low-grade nursing home, which is a warehouse, where there are people in containers who have tubes running into their bodies, and they are essentially being used there for transplant organs. They are pulling organs out of you. They're pulling a kidney here and an eyeball there and some skin here, and there you are. And this can happen to people going down to the Bahamas. Before you know it, you imagine yourself playing golf, but instead you're lying there in the dark, and you're intubated, and suddenly you're missing an eyeball. And you go down to Palm Beach, you go among the super rich, and you see a lot of people who have the eyes of Midwestern farmers. Transplants. No, people go down there and they don't realize. They think it's going to be easy, and it's going to be anything but easy. Meanwhile, the small towns are being depopulated here in Minnesota, and gradually animals are moving in towards us. The crows and the coyotes are moving in. Coyotes have been despised for years, and we've gone all out to kill them, trap them, poison them, a year-long hunting season on them because this is an independent and very intelligent animal, and we want nature to fit our design somehow. So we've got to kind of smash it into place. But the more coyotes that are killed, the more coyotes there are, and they're moving in, led by the crows who are their intelligence flying high in the sky, surveilling the scene. Coyotes are moving in. They're moving into the suburbs. They're moving into the cities in this cold, cold weather. You see their trails after a snowfall. You see trails. You think it's dogs, but dogs don't move in a pack quite like that. Those are coyotes, and the trails wind in around the backyards in Minneapolis and St. Paul, and in around schools, up close to schools. You see, the wolves have taken over the North Woods, and the wolves and the coyotes are natural enemies, and they push the coyotes south, and then the coyotes push the foxes out, and they moved back north because the foxes and the wolves get along, and so here are the coyotes down in our midst. You see, any town that is a river town, as St. Paul and Minneapolis are, can never be said to be settled or completely civilized. There's this little thread of wildness running through the middle of the city, and the coyotes travel up the riverbank, and they travel along these paths, and they know how sentimental we are about our pets, about dogs and cats, and they know how well-fed they are and how slow they are. And So they're looking for those. And if there should be a child along with the dog or the cat, all the better. There are children who are being raised by coyotes in caverns caverns along the Mississippi River. You see them, they show up at school. They're odd children. They're very quiet children. And they're wearing clothing that does not seem to have been laundered lately. And their hair is kind of wild. And they have a stare. They fix you with their stare. They watch every step that you take. Those are coyote children. They're being raised by coyotes along the riverside. The teacher's at the blackboard. She's drawing a diagram, and she turns around, and there are these two eyes looking straight at her. There have been incidents of cars pulled over by the highway patrol in Minnesota because they couldn't see a driver at the wheel. And the cars ran through the ditch and off into a field, into the trees, and the door opened, and 6-7 coyotes leaped out and ran for the woods. There was an employee of Kinko's who was fired, a night manager, the other day because he had allowed coyotes to come in and do email in the evening. Coyotes getting off elevators and buildings. People see this around. They like to think these are dogs. They're not dogs. These are coyotes. You and I have a precarious life out here in the frozen tundra because our survival here depends on machines that you and I do not understand or know how to fix. We are living on the edge of the cliff. The coyotes know how to maneuver up the riverbeds. They get around everywhere. They're all around us here. We have a fight on our hands. Some people, in fear of coyotes, move to the south. And there they discover the terrible things that can happen to people who move out of the climate to which their bodies have been attuned, a kind of loss of focus, a kind of drowsiness. And then before you know it, you're in dim light and there's a tube coming out of your body. Stay together, keep warm, no sudden moves, don't do anything impulsive. Spring is on its way. Don't worry. That's the news from Lake Wobegon, where all the women are strong, all the men are good-looking, all the children are above average.